This One is Free, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. The problem starts when Sam kills the Maenad by drowning it in the lake. In the frozen lake. In the middle of winter. Dean's still dealing with the 150 miles up the road. There's a cabin close enough, but all the wood's too wet to burn, and all Sam's clothes are soaking. The whole spotted cabin blankets are too small and too damp. No matter how tightly Sam winds them around himself, there's a spike of deep cold that he can't get rid of. He feels heavy and slow, and then he doesn't feel cold anymore. He pulls the blankets as close as possible and shunts back across the floor to find the musty edge of the couch. He pushes himself back against it and hopes to God he can stay awake long enough to start shivering again, or he's pretty much screwed. Sam wakes up, which is his first surprise. The second is that he's pressed into, or maybe sprawled over. He's too dizzy to orient himself. Someone else. All warm skin and tight fold of arms. He figures it's Dean somehow, because it wouldn't be the first time his brother has dragged him back from the edge, or out of the fall, even. But it's not Dean. The waist he has an arm curled around is too small and too soft, and even in dire life-saving emergencies, Sam's pretty sure his brother would never be pressed quite this close, especially with so much nudity involved. He spends a moment trying to absorb that while he shivers quietly. Painfully. Then, with more self-preservation than caution, he tries to wind his legs round legs that aren't even close to as long as his own. But they're warm. Every single inch of skin he's shoved into is impossibly warm. Human beings don't give off heat like this. Sam turns his head, one slow, uncomfortable ache of movement. Cold air shivers across his ear and cheek, making him groan unhappily. But he's far enough to see a long line of throat and the almost familiar curve of amused mouth. His head falls back before he's certain. His brain takes a long, shivery moment to give him the answer, until he huffs and awkwardly breathes out the word, Gabriel. It takes a second for that to sink in.
Dreamin', Sam mutters into the warm skin under his mouth.
There's a soft breath of laughter from just above his head.
If that makes it easier.
The words vibrate through the chest he's pressed against, but the voice confirms the identity.
Let's say that you are.
Because if he isn't dreaming, Sam will have to move. He'll have to haul his body away from the flare of impossible warmth that is Gabriel. He'll have to push him away and fight this. He'll have to make it about everything else. He'll have to be angry and cold and miserable. Sam honestly doesn't have the energy. He just doesn't. It may actually kill him. Even this much careful tension is making trails of cold run along his spine, and he twitches, hard and unpleasant. A warm hand flattens, then slides on his back, spreading warmth in wide lines, and Sam huffs something like relief, and turns his head. He finds a spot he hasn't made cold with his hair and breathes into it. The world is just quiet and warm for a handful of minutes.
If this is a dream, I should probably take advantage of you,
Gabriel murmurs into his hair.
Don't push it.
Sam grumbles sluggishly against his skin. Osmosis, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Dean and Sam are absolutely soaked when they get back to the motel, but they're trailing two bone-dry angels. It had taken Dean a long second to work out that Castiel and Gabriel weren't actually getting wet. Castiel had looked a little sadder, and Gabriel had looked a little more bored, but they'd pretty much stood next to them in the incredible downpour and hadn't looked bothered by a single drop of rain. Frickin' angels and their rain-avoiding telekinesis.
So Dean isn't in the best of moods, and Sam looks like he spent the last 3 hours being drowned in a lake. You two couldn't have made the effort to be bothered less by the weather, could you? He says testily. We don't get wet unless we want to, Gabriel points out in that particularly smug and irritating way that he has, and drips pointedly on the crappy motel carpet. He's never been a fan of being soaking wet, and Dean knows exactly how to push until that frustration becomes something bright and sharp, until it's enough to make him do something. Apparently Gabriel knows how to push too, even if he hasn't realized it yet. Dean thinks maybe his little brother is about to make a point. He watches as Sam takes 2 steps and plasters himself against the Archangel. Dean thinks, yeah, this is so not going to end well. Even Cass looks surprised. Gabriel makes a noise of protest and affront, which gets lost somewhere in Sam's jacket. When Sam unwraps himself, Gabriel is about half as wet as him, and clearly not happy about it. He drips quietly, but doesn't do anything immediate and gruesome to him, so Sam makes a noise that's satisfied and then disappears into the bathroom.
Disorder, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam's almost entirely asleep when he registers the sensation of fingers in his hair, threading through where it's laid across the pillow, then very carefully drawing some away from his face. It's not so much comforting stroking as a curious exploration, like someone who's seen his hair from afar and never gotten the chance to examine it.
Gabriel,
Sam says, voice half-muffled but still appropriately warning in tone. The hand in his hair goes still.
If I wake up and I have no hair, I'm not going to be happy,
Sam tells him without opening his eyes. Gabriel makes a quiet sound of amusement, and after a pause, he's moving Sam's hair again, tangling it round his fingers in a way that's almost curious.
I'll try and restrain my artistic impulses.
Gabriel sounds far too sensible to be believed. It occurs to Sam, between one sleepy breath and the next, that he should probably have complained about the touching in general. Angels, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam manages, just about, not to look annoyed when, as soon as they get back, Gabriel sprawls out on his bed like he owns it. He shoves the Archangel's boots over and sits down, digs his books out of his bag, and tosses them on the table. Dean and Castiel are next door, because trailing 2 angels who come and go at will is starting to make the search for living space more interesting. Also, Dean and Gabriel have a tendency to try and kill each other if left alone for 5 minutes.
Do you think you could go a full day without doing something ridiculous to Dean?
No. Gabriel tells him. It's a terrible compulsion I have. I find him very annoying. Sam sighs, and he's quiet for long enough that Gabriel pokes him with his boot. Besides, that's what Castiel is for, isn't it? His very own guardian angel, all pretty and innocent and not quite covered in the grubby finger marks and boot prints of humanity yet. I'm lost at the part where that's a bad thing, Sam admits honestly. Gabriel pulls a face, like he's actually thinking about explaining it, but then it's gone, and he huffs amusement instead. Sam waves a hand. Look, whatever, I'm just letting them have their... Sam hesitates to say privacy, because that sounds kind of sordid, considering. Gabriel smirks at him, like he knows exactly what he's thinking. They don't need privacy for what they're doing. Which is... having pillow fights and braiding feathers into each other's hair, Gabriel suggests, sounding thoroughly disgusted. I'm pretty sure that's not what they're doing, Sam accuses. Well, they're not having sex. I'd know about that, trust me. There's no doubt that Gabriel thinks life would be more interesting if they were. I don't think that's really a pressing issue, what with the world ending and everything, Sam points out. Though it's not like he hasn't wondered himself a time or two.
they do spend a lot of time together, and they're always giving each other meaningful looks. And God, he wishes he hadn't just thought that. No, it's because your brother's too much of a pussy to admit he wants to bang Castiel so hard coins come out, Gabriel says flatly. Sam winces. Thank you for that mental image. Really, that's nice. Gabriel spreads his hands in an I live to amuse you sort of gesture. Sam sighs and eyes the wall separating their rooms in a disturbed sort of way, because he's thinking about it now. He wonders if there's any sort of magical angel sigils that can soundproof a motel room. He shakes the thought away and looks at Gabriel again. So what were you planning on doing? Gabriel snorts and knocks his boot, not entirely accidentally, into Sam's back when he jiggles it. Much as the idea of sitting here watching them pine disgustingly over each other does amuse me a little, I'm fairly sure I could find something more interesting to do. Sam stares at him, waiting to see if there's anything else, because he's starting to understand that with Gabriel, there's always something else. Gabriel slides his hand into his pocket and drags out something which clinks and shines silver in the lamplight. Or I could handcuff you to the bed and do obscene things to you that you'll probably be ashamed to remember for the rest of your natural life.
Demonstrations. Written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Gabriel's sprawled out on the other side of the table when Sam gets back to his room. He's found beer somewhere, or made it, or stole it. Sam's still not entirely sure how that works. When he sits down, the angel slides one across the table, air drifting out of the top of the bottle. "Where's Dean?" he asks, because he hasn't seen him since he took his bags out of the car. The corner of Gabriel's mouth curls up. "Let's just say your brother and my brother are taking care of all that post-battle adrenaline." It takes Sam a second to get that. "Oh, really?" Gabriel nods. "That's kind of weird," Sam decides, though he's not quite sure if he means the angel part or the guy part, or maybe a little of both. Though considering all the ridiculous eye-fucking they've been doing, I probably shouldn't be surprised. "It's been a little like watching Continental Drift," Gabriel makes a gesture to go along with the words. "On a very small scale, slow but inevitable." "I really hope he knows what he's doing," Sam mumbles into his bottle. "It'll be good," Gabriel says with a hint of amusement. "It'll be the best your brother's ever had." Sam doesn't believe it for a minute. Not that he really wants to picture Dean having sex with anyone, or Castiel for that matter. But he's fairly sure it will be full of awkward declarations of love and Castiel not getting it, because Dean's had a lot, and that's a really truly shameless amount of sex. Castiel is an angel, all head-tilty bewilderment, marble stillness, and serious voice. Besides, Sam's been into battle with him, and he doesn't feel like people do. "Dean's had a lot," he says dubiously. Gabriel's tongue slides into his cheek. "Not like this." "Seriously, he's an angel," Sam points out. Gabriel raises an eyebrow as if to inquire what exactly Sam thinks he is, or why that should, in any way, make for unsatisfying sex. "It's not exactly going to be..." Sam tries to think of a way to end that sentence, but the only word that springs to mind and stays there is dirty. Gabriel cuts him a look that's completely unreadable. Then he reaches over and very carefully lays two fingers against the back of Sam's hand. Sam's blindsided by pleasure so sharp it's almost razor-edged. It doesn't stop, but rolls, swells like a wave, and digs through every inch of his skin to tighten the muscle below. It's smooth and hot, and he's choking on it. hands fisting in his own jeans while the breath shivers out of him on a whine. He's half suffocating under that dizzy, intense rush of blood that's too much, and he's gone, all the way gone, shuddering on a wet, messy curl of a high that leaves his eyes rolling. Gabriel very slowly slides his hand away. Sam whimpers unattractively into the table, groans dizzy disgust and embarrassment at the fact he's now sticky and hypersensitive. He has half a dozen curses on his tongue, but he just doesn't have the breath to use any of them. Gabriel leans over and steals his beer, drains half of it in one go, before relaxing back against the wall.
"It'll be good," he says firmly.
Manners, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose.
"Go away." Sam doesn't even bother turning around, because there's only one person that gives off an air of chocolate and sarcasm and doesn't need to open doors.
"You're rude. Did anyone ever tell you that?" Gabriel leans on his back, forcing Sam to push the laptop shut and sigh.
"Maybe because I've learnt that the world has a tendency to go to hell when you show up."
Gabriel breathes chocolate-flavored laughter.
"I'm working on my boredom threshold," he protests, patting Sam's shoulder. "It's good for me."
Sam shrugs him off and swivels around, ends up close enough to tug an unopened candy bar out of his hand. He doesn't recognize the name.
This is a trickster thing. Why are you eating it if you're an archangel?
Because he's been wondering that for a while now. Gabriel snatches it back out of his fingers.
Because it tastes awesome?
Or because you got addicted to it the moment they worked out how to make it?
That too, Gabriel says without shame.
Why? Want to share?
My candy bars are yours, Sam. All you have to do is ask.
Sam ignores him. He ignores him right up until he reaches over and opens Sam's laptop again.
What are you doing, anyway?
Sam lifts a hand and pushes it shut again.
Nothing.
What, you're not even going to ask me for help? Sam shakes his head.
No.
He shrugs him off his back again, which Gabriel seems to find amusing. The Archangel pulls a face that's probably supposed to be hurt.
You'd ask Castiel for help.
Sam frowns disbelief at him.
You just want to help out of the goodness of your heart.
Well, you could say please. I hear that works. Gabriel shakes his head.
You Winchesters, no manners at all.
Castiel's here, you know. I could ask him.
Castiel's busy worshipping your brother, Gabriel says, unwrapping the curious candy bar and eating it. I wouldn't bother him right now.
For a moment, Sam thinks he's joking, and then it becomes clear that he is really, really not.
I can't hear a thing, Sam argues. You don't think maybe they'd be making noise in there?
Oh, I guarantee they're making noise in there. You don't think my little brothers learned how to make sure you don't hear about it? They would have woken up the neighborhood if he didn't. Angels are loud, loud. Gabriel nods, then does something indecent with his eyebrows.
That's insane. There's no way they're...
Sam gets up and strides across to the adjoining door. Gabriel sucks a breath and shakes his head.
They barely stop arguing and brooding at each other long enough to fuck anyway. Interrupting them would just be cruel and unnecessary.
I know you're messing with me, Sam says stiffly, because he has more than enough experience with being the butt of a joke. Thank you very much. He wraps his hand around the doorknob. Gabriel's mouth is now full of chocolate, but his eyes are still promising a lifetime of mental images he doesn't want if he opens the door. Sam can't quite bring himself to turn it, because even if he is 90% sure that Gabriel is lying, the possibility that he's not. There's absolutely no way he needs to see that. One of Us, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose.
One moment, Sam is sprawled out on the bloody floor of a basement, absolutely certain he's going to die. And then, just as suddenly, instead of freezing concrete, there's the rough carpet of their motel room under his red hands. The change is dizzying. The bright red of blood in the darkness and the hoarse sound of his brother choking, turning to rough silence and the dim quiet of their room. He can hear Dean catching his breath beside him, the soft, almost sound of Castiel's coat against his own boots. Sam's fairly sure the only person strong enough to pull them all out of there is Gabriel. The Archangel, more familiar than he has any right to be, is watching them all from the doorway. His expression is hard, but it's not so much anger as resignation. Like he's made a choice, for whatever it's worth, and he's chosen them. Sam's so grateful to not be in that basement surrounded by blood and death that he stays on his knees. Dean eases Castiel upright, and the angel is shaky on his feet. Whatever he did back there took it out of him, and Dean is already pushing bloody hair away from the long gash in his temple and guiding him towards the bathroom. Gabriel watches them go, and he frowns in a way that makes Sam think that maybe he's more worried about his brother than he ever lets on. He goes to stand, to push himself upright, but he just doesn't have it in him yet, and his legs refuse to hold him. Gabriel catches him before he lands on his face. Sam leans on him, leans into his shoulder, trying to remember how to breathe, and he's exhausted and he's still covered in blood, leaving bright smears and fingerprints on Gabriel's jacket. Gabriel takes his weight like it's nothing.
"Thank you," Sam says thickly, swallows the ache in his throat. "I don't know why you did it, but thank you."
"I did it because you asked me to," Gabriel says quietly.
Sam waits for something else, something short and mocking about how he clearly couldn't be trusted to do anything on his own, about how they owe him one, something, anything. But there's nothing, just Gabriel's expression, strangely tense and serious in a way Sam doesn't think he's seen before. Sam moves his hand, leaves a smear of red on Gabriel's neck, the soft curve of his jaw, blood painted with his fingers, and Sam has no idea what he's doing, but he thinks Gabriel will let him. The smear becomes fingerprints, and he's so much closer, and Gabriel makes a noise, something Sam doesn't think he means to make. Something that's more than just letting him, something that wants him to. Sam wonders if he just wanted an excuse to kiss an angel, too. Gabriel doesn't kiss like an angel. He kisses like he means it, until Sam has to tip his head away to breathe, to realize that he's safe, for now. He lets Gabriel hold him up until he can hold himself.
The Games We Play, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. It's been coming for a long time. Saving the world together, fighting a war together, living in each other's pockets and spaces. Sam's the one that's been resisting. He's the one that's been pretending. It's either that or go mad. Because everything in his life is finally at the point where it's good again, where it feels right again. He has breathing space, thinking space. That's when Gabriel finds him in his motel room. He appears like 100 times before, and fills the room with noise and movement and sarcasm, and it's familiar, until it's not. Because the books in Sam's lap end up scattered on the table, the weight of Gabriel on his thighs instead. There's a hand on his neck, breath against his cheek, and then Gabriel kisses him. Sam lets himself feel it for as long as he can get away with. The sharp newness of it, the ferocity of it, like Gabriel just couldn't help himself anymore. And Sam's wanted it. God help him, he's wanted it. But he's pulling back. "Gabriel, stop," Sam says, and his voice shakes. "Why?" Gabriel asks, close enough that it's almost breathed into his mouth.
I don't want... Yes, you do,
Gabriel says through a laugh, and there's a slide shift of denim where they're pressed together too tightly to lie, too tightly to hide where Sam's cock is already a firm, traitorous line. Gabriel's mouth is so warm. It's hard, clever, and tempting, and Sam could drown in it. He turns his head away.
I can't.
Soft laughter cuts the words off.
I think you can, Sam.
Sam grips Gabriel's waist and digs his fingers in tight.
I won't,
he says roughly, and that's the one that turns Gabriel's soft, open mouth into something tight, and he slides back, stops touching him. The tightness turns into irritated confusion.
Why? You want me, I know you do. For months, Sam. I've seen what you think about me.
Gabriel shifting in again, just a little, all pressure and smirk and wet mouth.
But Sam, he can't do this again, can't be played with and manipulated and used.
He grabs for Gabriel's waist again, stops him, stops everything.
You're too much,
Sam hisses. He digs his fingers in and pushes Gabriel back, so he can think, so he can breathe.
I can't do this with you. You're all games and shiny coats of paint, Gabriel. Everything's a million miles an hour and nothing's ever real. You get whatever you want with a snap of your fingers and I don't want...
He sighs out a breath, loud and rough. Gabriel's watching him.
What don't you want, Sam? I don't want to play,
Sam says desperately. It comes out flared and honest and hurt, and Gabriel goes very, very still.
I don't want to be one of your games.
Gabriel lets his hand slide free, fingers trailing the very ends of Sam's before they come to rest on his own thighs. Sam holds his breath, waiting for the angel to get up and go, but he doesn't. He just stays there, silent and waiting. It takes Sam a handful of shaky breaths before he realizes that Gabriel's making a point. There's no push. There's nothing but the rush of his breath across Sam's mouth. The angel's eyes are dark and fixed, sharp and real in a way he's never seen them before. And when he leans in again, Sam doesn't push him away. He holds the weight of him and murmurs half-broken words against his mouth. Gabriel shushes him quiet and catches his jaw, kisses him until he stops trying to make words at all. It's rough and messy and human, and when he pulls away, he's breathing hard, too.
You are not a game, Sam Winchester, he says fiercely.
Sam drags him closer at the words, lets Gabriel's finger push hair off his face and look at him, really look at him.
You'd be surprised what I'd do to have you,
Gabriel tells him.
And I can do almost anything.
That's pretty arrogant, Sam says. He's touching now, daring to. Uncertain, but weak enough to want it anyway. Just faint presses of mouth and scrapes of teeth.
I'm an angel. It comes with the wings.
Sam's hands fist in the warmth of Gabriel's shirt, pull him tight. He bites at the corner of the angel's mouth and doesn't protest when Gabriel tangles a hand in his hair and pulls his head round, voice a breathless hiss in his ear.
No games, no angel magic. Just do what you want, Sam. Whatever you want.
Which is how Gabriel ends up pressed back into the sheets, Sam's knees spreading his thighs so he can slide up between them. He pins him there and stares down at him, lets the seconds drag out until there's a low, impatient stab of heat, and he has to shift and press and push into the matching line of hardness inside Gabriel's jeans. Makes the angel choke out a breath and reach up to catch his hair again.
Sam!
They fall into something that's just a roll and dig of sensation. It's rhythmless and greedy and broken far too often for harsh biting kisses and the catch of teeth at jaw and throat. Until Sam can't breathe like that,
He has to shove up onto his hands and grind down into Gabriel like he can't stop. A reckless, graceless, messy shove. He watches Gabriel swallow and shudder and hiss out barely coherent words, and Sam can feel that rush of wet, aching heat building that tells him he's going to come without ever even opening his jeans. Judging by the fierce dig and pull of Gabriel's fingers and the way he's murmuring Sam's name over and over, he's not going to be the only one. It's messy and breathless and far too quick. Sam ends up with his forehead pressed to Gabriel's and his fingers digging bruises into the angel's unbruisable skin. "No games," Sam asks thinly. "No games," Gabriel promises.
Room 17, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. The first thing that blurrily comes into focus for Sam is his shirt. It's thrown over the lamp, sleeves curling haphazardly around it like it's been caught in an impromptu hug. There's a sneaker on the table that's far too small to be his. And there's a very large dent in the wall. Oh no. Oh no no. The pieces of last night slot into place, detail after detail, in excruciating clarity. There's no fuzzy edge of alcohol to blur the lines with excuses. Gabriel. Sam suspects they broke the bed. Though he'd have to move to find out for sure, and laying very still is the only sort of self-preservation he can think of at the moment. He's not sure how long he thinks that will work for. He would blame the bed. The stupid, soft bed with lots of pillows. Because the room they'd checked into was classy for a change, big and soft and not even a little bit filled with that familiar mold smell. He thinks this may be punishment. This is the universe's way of telling him he deserves the mold smell. But no, blaming the bed is pointless because they'd already fucked before they got there. Though that hadn't exactly stopped them from trying for more. He remembers that part very well. Gabriel, shirt still half clinging to his shoulder, straddling his thighs, barely any weight at all, but strong, so fucking strong, laughing like a jackal with his tongue caught between his teeth, and Sam should have thrown him off. Should have thrown him off rather than grabbed for his hair and tried to pull him down. Gabriel had laughed and caught his wrists and resisted. Though Sam did push him down into the sheets eventually, hips twisting and sliding between his legs, and you never won with Gabriel unless he wanted you to. "Did you do something to me?" he asks the ceiling. The bed makes a noise, and a long length of sheet is pulled free of his legs. "I did a lot of things to you, but I'm guessing they're not the things you're interested in right now." Sam doesn't even have to ask for clarification. He's never needed alcohol, or unnatural mind powers, to make the really stupid decisions. His entire body aches like he lost a wrestling match. He thinks he probably did. He swears under his breath. "You're always telling me I should use my powers for good." There's a laugh to go along with the words. Sam's so glad he's finding this funny. Really. "Yeah, you kind of missed the point there," Sam says carefully. He's still staring at the ceiling. Possibly because he's afraid to look anywhere else. That's pretty much ruined when a warm hand grips his jaw and turns it sideways, and then he's looking into the very amused eyes of an archangel. "You didn't object to any of it. The noises you made, Sam." Gabriel's looking at his mouth now, like he has devious plans for it. Which isn't fair, because if anyone should get to take advantage this morning, it's him. Gabriel smiles, and Sam knows he's doomed. He's going to keep having sex with unsuitable people forever.
Pancakes, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam doesn't actually remember where the pancakes came from.
He really doesn't. But they're good pancakes, so he lets it slide. Besides, when Gabriel's around, things have a tendency to appear out of nowhere. And sometimes to disappear into nowhere at inconvenient moments. I'm just saying, Dean takes things too seriously. He puts too much on himself, which is why he thinks it's his fault when everything falls apart. He needs to chill out a little bit. It's freaky watching him walk around so tense when nothing's even happening. I keep thinking he'll just snap in half like in that fairy tale. Gabriel's ignoring his own pancakes in favor of smearing his thumb through the maple syrup curled round the edge of his plate. "Are you even listening?" Sam complains. "Uh-huh, sure. Dean, blah, blah, blah. Brotherly angst, blah, blah, blah. Fate of the world." That's not funny. Gabriel drags his thumb across his tongue in a way that's unnecessarily pornographic. "Stop it," Sam tells him firmly.
"Stop what?"
"You said you were interested." It's supposed to be more accusation than frustration, but Sam thinks it comes out unnecessarily whiny, too. He throws his hands up. "I should have listened to Dean. He doesn't think you're serious about helping. He thinks you're just playing with me." Gabriel smirks and gives him a look from under his eyebrows. "Not like that," Sam tells him flatly. "Jesus." "Why not like that?" Gabriel demands, though his voice is mostly dare and amusement, so Sam ignores him. "Seriously, why do you have to make everything so difficult?"
"Maybe I do it because it's fun," Gabriel tells him, and Sam pulls a face, disapproving and frustrated, because he's honestly not sure there's any way to convince Gabriel to do anything if it wasn't his idea first.
How the hell were you supposed to make an archangel behave? Gabriel laughs and leans over the table, leaves a tacky line of syrup across Sam's lower lip. Sam swipes at him, but he's already gone, and he's forced to lick it off.
"Can we please have a conversation that doesn't involve messing about with foodstuffs, just for a change?"
Gabriel makes a face like he's thinking about it.
"How old are you, seriously? Because I'm starting to wonder."
Sam refuses to be the responsible adult here. Refuses. Gabriel laughs and stands up, and Sam's already glaring at his own plate, deciding the conversation is finished until Gabriel decides it isn't again. Until the angel shoves into his side, fork clanking when he drops it, and Gabriel plants his knee on the chair and slithers into Sam's lap.
"Gabriel, what the hell?"
His mouth is sticky wet and fiercely hot inside, and Sam can taste his amusement, the rumble of laughter against his tongue. He means to push him away, to get his mouth free to speak, but he ends up chasing that curl of sweetness instead. Hands fisted in the material of Gabriel's jacket in a way that isn't pulling, but probably should be. The kiss opens up, leaves the edges of his mouth tacky. Gabriel's fingers shove into his hair, dragging it off his face.
"Cut your damn hair, Winchester!"
Gabriel pulls it, just a fraction away from pain, and then he's sliding away, and Sam's left staring at empty space, until there's a tug on his jacket, and he's up and out of the chair before he's even registered if he really wants to go anywhere Gabriel's taking him. Anywhere appears to be the bed, where Gabriel shoves him down, with considerably more insistence than his size should give him, hands going up under his shirt in one warm slide, pushing it up high enough that he can drag it off over his head and toss it away. Then Gabriel leans over and fishes something out of the sheets, and Sam knows instantly exactly what he snagged off the table. The syrup is slow and heavy and cold and fuck. It runs in slippery trails across every muscle of his chest, curling down the middle of his stomach towards the waist of his jeans.
"I am not breakfast," Sam manages, which doesn't sound like a protest at all.
But Gabriel looks far too smug when he catches Sam's wrists and holds them still before sliding up far enough to,
Fuck. Treat him like breakfast, leaving wet, tacky lines across his ribs and up his chest, straying round his nipple with a vicious sort of intent. And Sam chokes on a breath and pushes up, just a little, into Gabriel's teeth. Then the angel's sliding his hands into his pants and unbuttoning them, and Sam lifts up so he can drag them off. Though he has no coherent idea why. And then there's maple syrup where maple syrup has no business being. Gabriel puts his mouth to better use, and Sam gets lost somewhere between the heavy tackiness of syrup and the soft, wet slide of his tongue, making garbled appreciative noises somewhere in his throat. Shivery lines of sensation in Gabriel's obscene, delicious mouth. And that's really, really wrong. Sam! What? Sam pulls his head off the pillow so hard and so fast he nearly smacks straight into Dean. Whoa, it's okay, the world isn't on fire, Dean tells him when he comes into focus. Dude, you were making noises. Really loud noises. The pointed eyebrow raise Dean gives him tells him exactly what kind of noises. Sam manages some sort of sound in his throat. A man deserves his porn, especially you lately, but seriously, paper-thin walls. Besides, Cass was looking at you funny. Sam blinks and very carefully turns his head to look at Castiel. Castiel, head tilted just a fraction in careful inquiry, looks back. So, what were you dreaming about? Dean asks with a smirk. Sam pulls a pillow over his head. Unsaid, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam's found a comfortable position on the bed that doesn't pull his injured shoulder. He has a book about hydras spread open on the pillow because he thinks maybe, just maybe, that the thing Bobby had given them a tip about was more ancient Greece than American heartland. He's reading, listening to the quiet murmur of Dean and Castiel in the room next door. When the bed sinks behind him, one slow crush of springs and fabric. He carefully rolls his head round. Gabriel's staring at Sam's back, or rather his left shoulder, where a witch had cut him open last night, where Dean had stitched him up and taped a bandage.
What happened? Gabriel demands, expression tight.
A witch was better with a knife than we were expecting, Sam tells him. Because they're hunting almost non-stop now, holding back the tide of evil that Lucifer's rise has pretty much whipped into a frenzy of excited activity. Their research isn't as thorough as it could be, as it should be. And Gabriel. Sam won't ask. He won't. No matter how much he wants to. No matter how much he wants to beg sometimes for Gabriel to help them, to just help them. Fingers drift over the edge of the bandage, warm and careful. Sam lets his hand fall where he's reading.
It's not bad, he says quietly, even though Gabriel probably knows better than him, like they weren't already beating the odds of coming out of any battle alive. Every damn time.
Gabriel's hand slides down, flattens on his spine, dragging the sheet with it. As if to check that he's not hiding anything else. Sam breathes out and lets him reassure himself if that's what he needs. Gabriel. Gabriel's leaning forward on the bed, catching the edge of his jaw and turning it. His mouth is cold, though it warms quickly, and Sam kisses him back. It's not a great position on his neck, but there's a sharp, desperate edge to the kiss that he's never felt before. So he kisses him back until Gabriel lets him go. Gabriel's hand moves again, still careful but not nearly so innocent. Long, slow strokes that dare to slip their way further under the sheet, fingers sliding into the back of Sam's boxer shorts. Sam kicks the sheet away completely, and Gabriel makes a noise. The hand is gone, and there's the quiet sound of clothes being pulled free. Before Gabriel is back,
warmer, heavier, sliding his hands into Sam's shorts and dragging them all the way down and off. Sam spreads his legs without having to be asked, and a hand slides all the way up his back, warm and careful, fingers pressing at his skin but never digging in. He's expecting the quick push of fingers into him, but it still makes his head drop forward on a groan. They're warm and slick and moving in quick, shivery pushes that feel rushed and needy. And then they're sliding free, and Gabriel is impossibly warm and close and so hard. "Sam," Gabriel murmurs against his shoulder, something that almost sounds helpless. Sam draws his knee up the bed and breathes out. He lifts his hips and lets Gabriel push in, all the way in, one long, slow slide that leaves him breathing quick, shaky breaths into the pillow and aching just a little. One shivery movement slides into the next, slippery drag of skin followed by a press in deep, until Sam's hard against the sheets, gasping. Gabriel isn't usually so careful. Gabriel likes to push. He likes fierce and hard and greedy. He likes to leave bruises and bite marks and the scratches where his nails dig in. Gabriel is not gentle, and he's not careful. Except that's exactly what this is. It's slow and it's easy, easier than it should be. But it's strange and intense and ever so slightly desperate. Sam folds and flattens his hands against the wall, ignores the bright sting of stitches, and takes it. Everything is deeper and harder, and it's like everything they've ever said to each other is so close to the surface it could burn both of them. The book slides away, thuds to the floor, and Sam groans and pushes back, a slam of heat and greedy, urgent want that clenches hard and owns him. Until they both break. Gabriel quietly, almost desperately, Sam in one long shudder of sensation that threatens to leave him aching and completely ruined. When the world comes back, Gabriel is laid out next to him, leg thrown over the back of his own. He's dragging his fingers through Sam's hair. "Next time I'm coming with you," he says quietly.
For a Living, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Grave digging, no matter how much practice you get, is hard work. Anyone who's done the job properly puts a body deep, and it takes time and energy to get down there. To get to that coffin sunk all the way down into the earth. Sam knows, better than most people, how true that is. He's been shovel deep in a grave 100 times. Of course, he's currently the only person who's actually doing any work. Gabriel sat on one of the gravestones, hands stretched out behind him like he has nothing better to do. He's supposed to be showing he can be trusted not to mess with them when they're on a hunt, but he seems to have taken that to mean, do absolutely nothing at all. Maybe you could, I don't know, help? Sam says tightly. And miss the sight of you getting all sweaty and annoyed? Gabriel's voice is drawling and lazy. You're giving menial tasks layers here that I didn't even know existed. Gabriel gets the next shovelful of dirt in the face. That was totally uncalled for. Sam ignores him and goes back to digging. Gabriel is suspiciously quiet for a long minute. Stop looking at my ass, Sam says eventually. How did you know I was looking? You're predictable and annoying. What else am I supposed to look at? The dirt, the gravestones, the creepy graveyard trees? Something that isn't my ass, Sam huffs, because seriously, Dean gets the angel that makes cow eyes and rebels against heaven and explodes for him, and Sam gets... This is completely unfair. Yeah, but the sex is fantastic, Gabriel points out, like Sam hasn't told him not to read his mind 1,000 times. It is not, Sam protests, slamming the shovel into the ground hard enough to vibrate soft agony all the way through his shoulder. Last night, I think you actually cried.
Gabriel looks smug. He always looks smug.
Shut up, Sam tells him, and fumes quietly while another 6 inches disappears from the grave. Because that's totally not the point. Absolutely not the point. Even if it's completely true. Candy Mountain, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. There are worse ways to be dragged out of sleep than being sat on. Sam has lived through a few of the more horrible ones, but he still makes a protesting noise into the pillow.
Get off.
His voice is sleepy and irritated. Gabriel grunts something that sounds a lot like a negative, knees shifting just a little, weight settled more firmly, and though he's not as heavy as Sam would have guessed originally, he makes up for it by being incredibly irritating.
Gabriel, some of us actually have to sleep.
Sam refuses to open his eyes, because if he opens his eyes, he'll have to be awake. He'll have to admit to being awake, and sleep will become a distant memory. Something small and cold is placed between his shoulder blades. Gabriel's fingers drift away, and the little thing, whatever it is, rolls down the curve of his spine, one long, shivery trail. It tumbles round his waist and gets lost somewhere in the sheets. A moment later, there's a noise of discovery and the faint sound of crunching. Only for the weird ritual to be repeated, a shiver of sensation down Sam's back. This one ends in the hollow of his spine, rolls, rolls, and is snatched away.
Are those M&Ms?
It sounds like a complaint, because it is one.
They might be,
Gabriel says lazily. There's a pause, and then another tumble roll of candy down his spine, and it's impossible to sleep under that. Sam waits for a break in the rhythm and then rolls over, catching a hand and the loose edge of Gabriel's t-shirt and dragging him all the way down, until he's the one who ends up in the sheets. Sam has an almost ridiculous advantage when it comes to size, and he abuses every single inch he has on him. Gabriel seems to find it amusing. He raises an eyebrow at him, grins in a way which manages to be calculating, and Sam knows that if the angel decides to protest, he's going to win, and Sam's going to end up hurting. So he goes for distraction. The M&Ms scatter on the sheets, a riot of red, green, and yellow, and there's going to be candy shell and chocolate everywhere. But Sam's currently more interested in the sugar-rich taste of Gabriel's mouth and the sharp dig of his fingers that's just on the edge of actual pain. Everything after that is a tangled-up blur of want and burning hot skin that lets him dig his fingers in so damn hard. Gabriel is always a fraction too strong and too greedy, demanding and almost unbearably intense, until it feels like Sam's the one spread out and pushed open. He's the one that always ends up fighting for every breath while the angel tears his good intentions into filthy pieces and leaves him feeling wrecked and dizzy. It takes him a second afterwards to remember that he was supposed to be making a point.
No more molesting me with candy at the crack of dawn,
he complains into the curve of Gabriel's shoulder.
You do realize you officially suck at negative reinforcement,
Gabriel points out.
Magic Tricks, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose.
I'm just saying, it's not like we destroyed the house on purpose, you know?
Dean turns to look at Sam, who slumped against the passenger window. Sam nods in a way that suggests he can think of more interesting things to be doing than listening to Dean.
You get hell lizards in the walls, you have to burn them out. You can't just leave them in there to start laying frickin' eggs. But do we get a thank you for saving the family? Hell no. Destroy one house and you never hear the end of it. I should.
The passenger seat squeaks sharply, and Dean stops mid-rant to look at Sam, who manages, for some bizarre reason, to look more of an untidy mess than he did a second ago.
He blinks at Dean in surprise, almost like he didn't expect him to be there.
What?
Dean demands suspiciously. Sam works his jaw for a minute, and Dean could swear he catches a flash of yellow candy.
Nothing, he says around what is now quite obviously delicious sugar products.
What the hell?
Dude, where the hell did you get M&Ms?
Dean asks him. There's a faint sound of almost embarrassed crunching.
Found it. Somewhere,
Sam says guiltily, which makes absolutely no sense at all. But then Sam's been acting weird lately. Weirder than usual. Okay, maybe not bad weird, just weird. Dean frowns suspicion across the car. Sam makes interested eyebrows at him.
What were you saying?
Halo, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. It starts off with a witch, or rather a witch hunt. A witch that had left a collection of nasty traps all across the city. Sam has cold, congealed, miscellaneous magical stuff that Dean insisted he didn't want to know the ingredients to, smeared across his forehead and both eyelids, and the world kind of looks like a Salvador Dali painting, which is very unpleasant and gives them both sickness-inducing headaches. But the stuff lasts long enough that when they get back to the motel and find Castiel and Gabriel having an angel stare-off, Sam discovers something. Angels really do have halos. Castiel's is small and bright, and if Sam was willing to use the words shiny and beautiful to describe what's connected to something that currently looks like a grown man, he would have done, though not out loud, at least not where Dean could hear him. Gabriel's is more like a crown. He can't shake the image, can't get it out of his head long after the stuff has worn off and Gabriel looks like Gabriel again, smug and obnoxious and unreliable, completely lacking any sort of calm or serenity, or anything remotely of an angelic nature, like the world's weirdest magic eye picture. But Sam can't stop seeing it. He has the image seared into the front of his skull. He wonders if he can touch it, wonders if he'd be able to. He doesn't stop thinking about it when they head out later to check one final time for traps, or when Dean takes Castiel to the room next door. He thinks maybe, up until now, it's never really sunk in that Gabriel is an angel, a proper angel, an archangel, with a halo. Which he figures is the reason he eventually finds himself standing behind the chair Gabriel has thrown himself into, with a hand in his hair. Gabriel stops chewing on whatever confectionery he's snapped up for himself today, and makes a confused noise, like Sam has gone mad when no one was looking. Sam? It occurs to Sam that this could be considered suggestive, though the fact that he can't feel anything is oddly frustrating.
You have a halo, Sam says.
Gabriel tries to look at him sideways without dislodging his hand.
Uh-huh. Angel kind of comes with the wings and the flash photography and the superiority complex.
An actual halo. I saw it.
You can't see it, Gabriel tells him. It's not really here. It doesn't exist here. You're not supposed to...
The sentence cuts off when Sam tips his head back, wrecks the softness of his hair. He makes a strained noise.
It looks like a crown, Sam says, voice quiet but firm.
Gabriel's inhale comes in sharp and desperate.
Your halo is a crown, Sam adds shakily, and his fingers tighten without him meaning them to.
Gabriel hisses something that's not even close to pain, and tips his head back, and his hair is so warm.
It's not a crown, Gabriel says, voice low and amused, and something else, something heavier. Then he snorts like Sam has suggested some sort of strange blasphemy.
I was wondering if I could touch it, Sam says. Chocolate hits the table, and Sam thinks that's the first time Gabriel has ever dropped food.
If it was possible.
Gabriel breathes out, and Sam's wrists are suddenly warm, the vague push of resistance above where his hands are still moving in Gabriel's hair, which now gives off bright sparks when he pulls his fingers through it, shining like it's sitting under something bright and gold. Sam exhales, and it's much louder than he means it to be.
"You do realize this counts as naughty touching, right?" Gabriel says thickly.
Sam clears his throat.
I kind of assumed as much, he says, but he doesn't stop.
Gabriel makes a pleased sound and tips his head back into Sam's hands.
Intermission, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam hasn't slept with anyone for a long time. He hasn't woken up with anyone for even longer. But his sleep-fogged brain registers the warmth of another body and the lazy curl and pull of his arm around someone's waist. Also, there's something heavy draped over his thigh and half of his chest, a weight of skin and muscle. It's nice. It's really nice. Until it occurs to him exactly why he doesn't wake up with people. He's digging under the pillow for the knife before he even opens his eyes, only to stop when he registers exactly who sprawled over his chest. Gabriel. He's managing to take up a lot more space than he should, tangled up in Sam's limbs like he's been there all night. Which is a thought that rolls around and around in his brain, without really making sense. Gabriel is... he's Gabriel. He's on Team Free Will, reluctantly, between bouts of complaining about how everyone is doomed and trying to drive them all crazy with his endless and inappropriate abuse of powers. He's impossible and ridiculous and exhausting. But he's one of them. He belongs with them, and Sam's going to keep right on pretending that means exactly what it sounds like it means. Still, waking up with him is pretty frickin' unexpected. Oh, sex with Gabriel isn't new. They've been doing that without caring much about the consequences for a while now. Since Gabriel nearly died. It's not... Sam doesn't even know what it is. It's just something they do, in crappy motel rooms after hunts, or before them, or sometimes just when Dean isn't around. But Gabriel doesn't stay. It's not like that. They're not like that. Sam realizes belatedly that his arm has been slowly tightening round Gabriel's waist, fingers digging into the softness of it. He forces himself to stop. He's fairly sure nothing weird happened yesterday. No curses, no spells, no falling into parallel universes, no body swaps, no ritualistic pagan sacrifices, no genies, no unexpected demonic interference at all. Nothing to explain this. There was the hunt, and a shower, and Gabriel's clever fingers digging into every stubborn ache in his back, which had very quickly turned into Gabriel on his back, and Sam dealing with an entirely different sort of ache. He's fairly sure he has finger bruises all over his back either way. Sam had fallen asleep after that, and Gabriel had apparently stayed. Though it very quickly occurs to him that angels don't sleep. He peers accusingly at the long line of Gabriel's nose. "Your body was warm, and you weren't using it," Gabriel says, like he's been listening to Sam's internal ramble. His voice curls across Sam's chest in one warm rush. Sam should have figured that a straight answer would be too easy. "You never stay," Sam says quietly. He keeps his arm wrapped round him, just in case Gabriel takes offense at that in some way and disappears. Gabriel snorts amusement into his skin instead. "You never asked before." Sam frowns. "Did I ask?" "Uh-huh." Gabriel drags his foot up Sam's leg in a way that's definitely no accident. But then he just relaxes again, like he has no current plans to do anything else. Sam tries to remember saying anything last night, and he can't. He remembers that messy rush of greedy bliss,
and then sprawling out in the pillows like he was never going to wake up again. He doesn't remember anything after that. But he's never had Gabriel pressed in close and tight and warm when sex wasn't involved. It's weird and new, and he thinks it's something he'd like to keep. He can feel Gabriel breathing, can feel the slow drift of his fingers and the dig of the angel's knee into the muscle of his thigh. It's quiet and slow and everything Gabriel has always managed not to be. Sam feels like he's waiting for the punchline, for some hint of smug insult or trick, and it never comes. The minutes tick off until he very slowly relaxes again. Gabriel makes a satisfied noise and tangles their legs up in an entirely new, but oddly more comfortable, configuration. Sam decides the apocalypse can wait 5 more minutes.
Serious Questions, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam's whole world starts with the floor. Cold ground, the steady prickle of grit on his cheek, and the roll swing of black candles in front of his face. That should be important. He's sure it should be important. Everything is very floaty. Shouting voices come closer, and those he knows, Dean who he's always known, since the very beginning, and Castiel, the blue-eyed angel, his brother and the angel. He's pretty sure one loves the other, but he can't remember which.
Who loves who?
He mumbles into the ground. Dean's talking, but it's garbled word salad in a fog. Sam can't make out a word of it. He tries to roll his head on the floor and finds Dean, who's close and vast and frowning in a way that looks bad for him, or maybe bad for Sam. He can't remember. It's probably important, but it's just not there. Sam's face is itchy. He rubs it against the floor, and that's a nice sensation, almost too nice. Scratch shift, prickly and liquid.
Sam?
Dean, Sam agrees, because that seems sensible. Dean's talking again. Every fourth word makes it through the fog, making the flow of the sentence broken and meaningless. Something about magic and witches and faces. Sam's not sure whose faces. But Dean is good in a crisis, so Sam leaves it to him to sort it all out. He agrees, or maybe he just thinks he does. He's still agreeing when Castiel and Dean eventually manage to get him upright, and Sam never realized how far he was away from the floor before now. Miles. Dean and Castiel are steering him towards the car. That's it, the car. They have to get to the car. Dean loves the car. He loves it so much he'd probably have sex with it. Dean says something loud and messy to that. Sam laughs and then thumps into Castiel when his feet decide not to obey him. But Castiel doesn't seem to mind. Castiel's probably more concerned with the way the world is currently wobbling backwards and forwards. The car. They're going to the car. It is a nice car. It does make you think of sex. Bendy and enthusiastic sex that's overwhelming and a little bit intense. Sex that leaves you exhausted and breathless and messy, with bruises in interesting places. This sort of sex Sam has discovered that Gabriel is very, very good at. Sam slithers sideways, and Castiel catches him before he hits the floor. Castiel is much stronger than he looks, but still kind of small. Sam ends up slumped over him in a way which he finds hilarious. But then suddenly Dean is asking very serious questions. Sam still kind of doesn't understand them. He has all the words, but he doesn't think they're in the right order. Dean's all angry and swirly, demanding to know something, and Castiel looks all worried and huge and blue. Everyone sounds very serious, so Sam tries to concentrate. When you have an angel and they're right there, you could, so you can, so you do, he explains seriously, which makes perfect sense to him. Dean makes a noise which doesn't sound like it agrees. Sam worries that he's speaking another language, that the witches have stolen his tongue and made it wrong. Or maybe he's just not explaining properly. Dean slides under his arm again, and it's so much better when Sam has two people to hang on to. He tells Dean that he thinks maybe he loves Gabriel a little bit. Dean stumbles to a halt, and Sam's forced to try and hold on to something again, which is briefly confusing because everyone is very close, but his arms don't seem to work. He tries to hold on to something with his mind, and then realizes he can't do that anymore. And probably couldn't when he could. He explains that it happened completely by accident. He never meant to, because Gabriel can be kind of mean, and he thinks Sam's stupid, and he's always disappearing. But he's funny, and he knows everything, and Sam likes the way he can do things with his hands, and he always stays for the parts Ruby didn't like much. He likes when Gabriel shows up more than when he doesn't. Also, he always tastes like candy. He's kind of sad sometimes, which is wrong, and Sam likes the way he can make that not quite so true. He tells them all of that, though it probably comes out all wrong. Dean very carefully lets Castiel take all of Sam's weight again when he opens the car. "I like him," Sam mumbles into Castiel's ear. Castiel murmurs something back. Something deep and lyrical and soft, though Sam doesn't understand a word of it. Then he squeezes Sam's waist ever so gently. Sam kind of likes Castiel, too.
Unreality, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. The power of the spell touches something in a way that none of them anticipated. It makes the angels look like angels, shining bright in human skin. They're glowing, and Sam can see the strange, not real impossibility of their wings. That kind of makes them stand out, so they're stuck at the motel. Dean seems determined to flip between awe and amusement. Castiel is trying to be sensible about the whole thing. Sam isn't surprised, because he's used to Dean, or enough used to Dean to not take offense at the comments, at his brother's sudden, weirdly uncharacteristic but understandable need to touch this new weirdness. The fact that Castiel is happy enough to let him is less hard to understand. Castiel is dealing. Gabriel, not so much. When Sam lets himself back into his room, he finds the archangel cross-legged on the end of the bed, facing the wall. His huge, impossible wings trail on the dirty motel carpet, in a way that seems not only blasphemous, but strangely sad. He has a magazine open on the bed, and Sam can see a picture of a preposterously large shark devouring someone on a surfboard. He goes to put a hand down on Gabriel's shoulder. For all that Gabriel mocks them, Sam knows when someone is dealing with something that they've spent a long time trying to avoid dealing with. But the wings are corporeal. They may not look it, but they are. He finds himself with his fingers curled round what feels like the static warmth of a limb, and yet more alien. He jerks his hand back like he's touched something he shouldn't have. "Shit, sorry." Gabriel's still for a second. Then he flips a page. "They won't bite you, you know," he tells him, though it sounds less amused than it tries for. "I keep forgetting my fingers won't go through them," Sam says carefully. Gabriel snorts quiet laughter. "Pretty much the only time they're going to be real enough to touch, but not to burn your skin off." He shrugs, like it doesn't matter, like he doesn't care. Hiding something that feels like hastily covered over embarrassment. "Touch if you want to." Sam doesn't know how to reply to that, but the wings shift, one steady movement to lift and resettle them, and his hand is up again before he realizes it. He breathes out when he touches one, expecting something. Gabriel's no longer turning pages, but he isn't protesting either. Sam's not sure how to touch at first. It's not skin and not feathers, exactly, though it almost looks like them. It's warm, alive and electric, fingers disappearing into it like it's liquid.
He loses some of his caution when the wings ease apart, until it's a steady pull of fingertips through the barely there shadow of feathers. Light and vibration and the faintest echo of something vital, something alive. He searches underneath, finds the strange warmth of smaller, softer feathers in the unreal depths of Gabriel's wing. Gabriel goes very still, in a way that feels surprised, like Sam has done something he's not supposed to, done something Gabriel didn't expect. He pulls his hand away again. I'm sorry, I shouldn't. You're not some sort of... The wings give one slow shiver and very slowly lift and open wider, easing back within reach. They're close enough that Sam could lean in and let them drag across his cheek if he wanted to. Gabriel's still holding himself perfectly still, facing away from him, but there's something there, something vulnerable. Wordlessly, Sam raises his hand again. Gabriel's wings move into his touch this time. They press into his fingers like they can't help it. He can't resist burying his hand in a slow upward push that leaves his skin tingling and his fingers verging on numb. Gabriel manages half an inhale before it cracks and turns into some sort of gasping moan, and there's absolutely no way Sam can pretend anymore. No way he can ignore the fact that this is not just curiosity. This is intimacy. He doesn't move for a long second, because he doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't know what this means. He curls his fingers. Gabriel? It's a question, but he's not sure what he's asking. Whatever it is, the answer is yes. Gabriel's wings tilt up and back, spreading open, all the way open. The trailing edges brush his arms and the fallen strands of his hair. They're brighter, softer, more real the more he touches them, more alive. He thinks maybe he's the one doing that. Gabriel has fallen forward on his hands, shoulders twitching and shaking on every rough drag of fingers, and there's no doubt at all where Sam is taking him now. He should stop. He should stop, because this isn't right. This is Angel, some naked, secret part that people don't get to see, that Gabriel seems to feel almost ashamed of. But that he's letting Sam touch, which leaves all the breath caught in his throat. Sam wonders how long it's been since someone touched them, since something saw him like this. He lifts his other hand and carefully spreads his fingers, feels the way they resist, just barely, before letting his fingers slide through, before letting them slide inside, and Gabriel inhales sharply and fists his hands in the bedding. Please. It's breathless and quietly pleading, threaded through with need, bitten out like Gabriel never wanted to let it go. Sam pushes and presses deeper, finds the places that are hot and soft, the places that make him feel like he's touching something vast and electric. Harder touches that make Gabriel choke on air and shiver. Sam can't even try and pretend this isn't affecting him too, when his skin's too warm and too tight and he's breathing shallow through his open mouth, cock heavy where it's crushed tight under his jeans, watching the ripple of light drag over the translucent surface over and over. An overenthusiastic grip gets him a gasp and a sharp twitch of movement. He's about to apologize, but the noise Gabriel makes when he lets go is obscene. He does it again, harder, hard enough to make his fingers ache. The angel is bowed all the way over, wings spread painfully wide, and there's so much to grab hold of, so much to touch, and Sam can't stop himself, can't help himself. Sam! Gabriel makes the word a breathless warning. And suddenly everything is very bright. There's a sharp, high noise, brief but painful. Sam's hands are tingling like they're full of static electricity. When he can see again, Gabriel is leant back against his chest, wings pale and barely real again, but lined with strange colors. Instrumental section. It's not that late, but Sam's had a tough day, so he's trying to sleep. Trying and failing, mostly.
since Gabriel considers sleep one of those irritating and unnecessary human things. One he's going to ban as soon as he works out how.
I think you should go and bother Dean.
Sam grumbles into the pillow when the hand sliding under the sheet to drift over the curve of his ass becomes impossible to ignore. Dean has Castiel to bother him, Gabriel says, fingers now trailing the bumps and hollows of Sam's spine, like he finds them endlessly fascinating. It's a sensation that never settles, drifting between arousing and something that makes his skin shudder. Neither are helping him sleep. Sam groans and rolls over. He makes a muttered noise of complaint when Gabriel simply moves his attention to the curves of each rib. Sam twitches again.
Why do you find my skin so fascinating? You have your own.
It's not the same, Gabriel says, all pout and jealousy under the amusement. He slides his way up to straddle Sam's waist, thighs warm where they press in.
It's not half as responsive as yours is.
Sam's toes clench when Gabriel's fingertips catch a sensitive spot, and he can't help the noise he makes, the jerky little shiver. Gabriel's mouth stretches out, a smile that's full of amusement and mischief, a smile that really doesn't bode well for Sam's current plan to ignore him and sleep anyway. The fingers glide more slowly, trailing over the hollows along his side. Sam jumps and twitches away.
Gabriel, quit it.
He should know better. He really should. Gabriel can never resist the opportunity to do something he shouldn't. Or to be persistent and irritating. Sam has to wonder if that's how he gets his kicks, now he can't indulge in violent and gleeful retribution. Gabriel says, like he's considering it. Then promptly digs his fingers in under Sam's ribs.
Gabriel, fuck!
Sam's hands fly out to try and shove Gabriel off him, but his wrists are caught tight in a hand that's far too small to be so impossibly strong. Gabriel's other hand is still moving, sliding into every delicate, vulnerable place he has, and it's impossible to squirm away from with Gabriel's weight on him. Sam opens his mouth to protest again, but it comes out as a laugh and air.
I hate you, he manages.
Gabriel hums amusement, like he's fully prepared to be hated for a good cause, fingers still sharp where they slide and press and occasionally catch. Sam's falling back into the pillows, hissing a breath in and then losing it in strained laughter without ever meaning to. But his hands are free, so he shoves them straight into Gabriel's hair and pulls. Gabriel grunts and lets him, because there's no way Sam could drag him up if he didn't want to come. Sam gets knees shoved into his ribs and a curve of warmth and weight over his chest.
Not funny,
Sam says breathlessly. He drops his hands, digs his fingers into Gabriel's waist, hard enough to feel the curve of his hip bones under the skin, then hauls him up until he can turn his laughter into slow, wet noises that break against his own mouth.
So funny, Gabriel counters when they part. So very funny.
The next time he sucks a breath, it's for a different reason. The slow press of Gabriel's fingers into his skin is impatient and demanding. He's oversensitive now. Every single touch pulls a noise out of him which is half pleasure and half jittery tension, and he thinks he likes it a little too much. There are teeth curving under his jaw, biting down just a little.
I like you when you're helpless,
Gabriel says, quietly enough that Sam knows it's the truth. He thinks it should probably bother him more than it does.
Gabriel.
He's trying so hard to be chastising, but Gabriel's tongue slides between his teeth when he smiles, and it's suggestive and filthy, and Sam's still working out how to be immune to things like that. Or if he wants to be. He should probably know that by now, but Gabriel doesn't exactly let him stop and think very often. Instead, Gabriel shoves the pillows out of the way and pulls Sam's head back, sinking teeth into his throat just hard enough to make him hiss, before letting him go and laughing into the wet, stinging skin. He presses down, shoves them together where Sam's already as hard as he is. He's too used to Gabriel's familiar brand of mischief, unfair and so sharp it's almost vicious. Or maybe he's just too used to it always ending in sex. Gabriel's body is soft enough to be real, soft enough to catch hold of and roll over and pin to the sheets with his hands. Sam still can't quite get used to how much bigger he is than Gabriel. The position he's left them in doesn't look anything close to fair. But he can use as much of his weight and strength as he likes. He's not going to hurt him. He couldn't if he tried. Gabriel blows hair out of his face and doesn't look concerned at all. Sam's never actually asked how strong he is in this body. Stronger than him has always been enough. Sam lets him go, leaves the white marks from his own fingers to fade away as he slides back to his knees. He drags his palms lazily along Gabriel's bare thighs, spreads his legs in a considering sort of way. Gabriel hums like he approves of where this is going. Sam drags his finger up the bottom of Gabriel's foot. It jerks out of reach in one sudden movement, and Sam's laughing. He's laughing because he can, because the all-powerful Archangel is as deeply entrenched in the flesh as him, whether he wants to admit it or not. He laughs until Gabriel catches his hair and crawls up his body and steals all his breath away.
Powerless, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam's mostly joking when he demands it. It's the tail end of a thought. He's frustrated by the superpowers and the jokes and the candy and the constant disappearing. But Gabriel agrees. One day without angel powers, 24 hours with no smug finger snapping, no checking out on angel air, no mocking Castiel, and no doing horrible things to Dean. Gabriel agrees. Sam spends most of the day watching him, ready to catch him cheating. But Gabriel rides in the car, he complains about the weather, he eats the shitty diner food that Sam and Dean pay for, he argues with Dean but doesn't do anything, at least not as far as Sam can tell. Castiel looks at him oddly all day. Dean keeps throwing him suspicious glares like he's waiting for the other shoe to drop. Sam finds himself strangely tense watching it all, not sure exactly what he's waiting for, not sure what he wants from this, until he gets back to the motel room from picking up supplies and finds Gabriel leaning into the table, trying to work out how the Winchesters pack their bags. Like being an angel makes complex spatial relationships easier to understand. Either that, or you can just ignore them. Sam drops his own bag on the table and fists his hands in Gabriel's shirt. He pushes him into the edge of the wood and kisses him. This is what he wants. This. And Gabriel's laughing like he'd worked it out hours ago. Sam bites frustration into the edge of his jaw and listens to the quiet little hiss the angel gives under Sam's teeth. And God, he doesn't know if Gabriel's faking or if he really is human enough to feel that. For Sam to leave bruises, to leave marks, and the thought of it. It leaves him catching the back of Gabriel's neck just a little too hard. Sam never intended to make this part of it, but he likes it. He likes the power. He's never been the stronger one in this messed up relationship. Gabriel laughs into his mouth again, and it's easy, so easy to pull at their clothes, a messy stumble of cloth and skin all the way to the bed. The lube comes out of Sam's bag rather than from nowhere at all, and Gabriel spreads his legs without having to be told, like he knows exactly what Sam wants. It's not as intense, not as impossible, but there's a rawness to it. It's a sharper, clumsier press of skin that leaves Sam fucking helpless after the first few deep thrusts. Gabriel digs his teeth in just a little too hard in his fight to be as close as he can to human. Then apologizes over the marks, voice breaking every time Sam drives all the way in. His waist is slippery, hair damp at the back of his neck, mouth loose and wet, and Sam has never seen him like this before. doesn't know whether to believe it or not until Gabriel throws a hand over his head and catches the headboard and makes a noise, something shaky and unexpected, that leaves Sam in no doubt that in this moment he's as human as he can be. Human enough to feel everything, and Sam knows he's being a little too rough, a little too hungry, but he can't stop. There's something about Gabriel being like this for him. He shoves in hard enough to make Gabriel gasp, release dragged out of him in long, wet pulls, mouth against Gabriel's ear, words shaking out of him that he probably shouldn't be saying. But Gabriel tightens his thighs around him, and he's biting at the curve of Sam's jaw and fucking whimpering and coming on one long groan. Sam turns his head until he has Gabriel's mouth under his own. He likes the way Gabriel sounds breathless, likes the way his eyes look, the way his mouth and the edge of his jaw is red. He's pretty damn reluctant to leave. Gabriel groans when Sam slides free, when he slumps against the curve of Gabriel's stomach and then immediately makes a face. Sex, when you're human, is kind of messy. Gabriel smirks at him in a way that's fully aware of this and thinks Sam deserves exactly what he asked for. I Accept This. Written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. Sam swears he's only been asleep 10 minutes when he registers warmth along his back and teeth in the meat of his shoulder. There are fingers sliding through the hair at his groin in silent, impatient demand. When he opens his eyes, there's still a hazy edge to the world.
Jesus, Gabriel, again?
Because no matter what Dean thinks, there is such a thing as too much when it comes to sex. Sam's skin is already close to being a tingling mess of sensation, and he's pretty sure he's going to have so many incriminating bruises that there'll be no excuse other than the obvious.
You're going to kill me,
Sam decides, because it's very quickly becoming clear that Gabriel doesn't know the meaning of the word satisfied, that he fully intends to mistreat him until he can't see straight, or can't walk straight, at least.
You have no idea what you look like laying there,
Gabriel complains, voice low and heavy in the dark, like it's Sam's fault, like he's doing it on purpose.
I can't concentrate on anything else.
Sam kind of wants to tell him that isn't his problem, wants to tell him to go away and let him sleep. But Gabriel's hand is very distracting.
I'm literally physically incapable. Sam grumbles. You've destroyed me.
Gabriel huffs amused disbelief against his shoulder.
Don't be melodramatic.
Sam's about to point out that he isn't being melodramatic. He's telling the truth. But Gabriel's pulling on the edge of his hip, leaving him on his back in the sheets. Then he's sliding over, pressing down into him, and Sam's protests end up crushed somewhere under Gabriel's mouth. Gabriel makes everything harder and deeper than Sam knows what to do with. In a way, he thinks maybe he likes a little too much. His cock twitches in a way that feels like self-preservation more than actual pleasure. Sam growls complaint and catches the too soft weight of Gabriel's waist and the back of his neck, holds him there and calls him half a dozen filthy names. It doesn't make him stop. If anything, it makes his hands less careful. They dig in and push at Sam's thighs in a way that's greedy and demanding, in a way that tells him exactly what Gabriel wants. Sam's not just twitching, but hard now, in a way that very nearly almost hurts, and even that's good. He has no idea how he managed that. Gabriel folds over him, pressing his fingers into Sam's waist, and for just a second he's weight and desperation and something that feels cold and overwhelming. And then it's gone. Gabriel is just Gabriel again, eyes dark and hot and watching him like he doesn't know how to want anything else. Sam shudders and gives in, spreads his legs. Well fucked is not a phrase Sam ever thought he'd be using to describe himself, and definitely not in this context. But there really is no other way to describe how easy it is when Gabriel pushes his leg up and slides into him. Sam makes a noise, something soft in his throat that tells him he needs this, no matter what he says. Even though every steady push is close to the edge of genuine discomfort, he thinks maybe it's a little of the desperation that grips Gabriel still shivering under his skin, and he stretches his arms up over his head, folds them round the headboard, and takes it. Gabriel can't stop touching him, fingers sharp and greedy and distracted, until Sam lowers a hand and catches one slim wrist, drags it to where he's hard and desperate, and presses it down. Gabriel makes a noise in his throat like he approves of Sam demanding things, and he wraps his fingers round him and makes it good. He always makes it good. When Sam comes, it's too sharp and too hot, the wet rush of it almost vicious. Blood roars in his ears and his breath aches in his throat. It takes him a long time to come down. Gabriel pushes his hair off his face and slides out of him, and Sam does wince then, one brief irritated protest. But he's damned if he isn't still half caught in the rush of greedy pleasure. "Go to sleep," Gabriel says simply, and Sam obeys like it's a command.
Chocolate, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. The sound that wakes Sam is not one he's used to. It's a sort of squirty, squashy air noise, which is so bizarre he's forced to wake more through curiosity than genuine fear for his life. There's a half-naked archangel straddling his lap, sheets shoved down behind him, which isn't really so strange. For someone millions of years old, Gabriel has a ridiculously short attention span. Sam can't remember the last time he didn't wake up to him doing something. He looks down. Gabriel has apparently decorated him while he was asleep. Judging by the upended squeezy bottle, he's decorated him with chocolate sauce. Gabriel? Sam thinks he manages to get exactly the right amount of questioning in his voice. What are you doing? Very important wards, Gabriel says smoothly. He's halfway through what looks like an inverted T just underneath his left nipple. The room smells so strongly of chocolate, Sam can taste it on the back of his tongue. Those very important wards, Sam says carefully. They have to be written in chocolate sauce? Gabriel shoves his thumb in his mouth and sucks it clean, then raises his head and pulls a face which Sam takes to mean, obviously. So now I'm protected from what exactly? Demons, Gabriel says, slowly and sensibly, like that was obvious too. Diabetic demons, maybe, Sam complains. If he moves, he's going to learn the terrible truth behind why skin and chocolate should never permanently coexist. And he's fairly sure Gabriel warmed it up because he would have noticed someone painting him with cold chocolate sauce. Gabriel shifts a knee so he can add another symbol to the bottom of Sam's ribs. He manages to get a curl of sauce on his wrist and then spends an indulgent moment licking it off, while Sam debates how exactly he's going to manage to get up without leaving chocolate smeared everywhere. Gabriel! Shush, nearly finished. The bottle's almost empty. The chocolate coming out in squishy curls, plastic squeezed until it's almost touching. Gabriel's fingers drag in the edge of a line bisecting two symbols. Sam's not entirely sure why he's letting Gabriel indulge himself. Why he always lets him indulge himself. Gabriel laughs under his breath like he's listening. The bottle pauses briefly, and Gabriel's weight rolls forward until he's leant forward over Sam's decorated body. The chocolate isn't the distraction this time. Though judging by the wet, sticky flavor of Gabriel's mouth, he'd been indulging while using Sam as an art project. Sam's tempted to lift a hand and drag Gabriel all the way down, squish chocolate all across his chest and the edge of his chin and the bare length of his arm. He's very tempted.
But then Gabriel's hand moves, fingers tugging open the button and zip on his jeans, sliding them over his hip bones one-handed. Sam makes a noise against the greedy push of his mouth, something crushed and unintelligible. The noise he makes when Gabriel's hand slides in is a different sound, lower and harder. He's about 3 seconds away from giving in when Gabriel lets him go, slides back off of his lap, and tosses the empty squeezy bottle to land somewhere on the carpet with a soft thud.
"I'd say you now absolutely need a shower, and I am 100% behind the opinion that you should take the opportunity to fuck me up against that slippery-tiled wall."
Blind, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose.
"I could just promise not to look," Sam offers.
"Famous last words," Gabriel says sarcastically. "I don't think your brother would appreciate me giving you back to him blind and screaming."
The angels currently sat in Sam's lap on the bed, drawing a long length of black fabric between his fingers. The dangling edges trail across Sam's stomach in shivery lines. He grunts reluctant agreement.
"So what do you feel like, anyway?"
Gabriel makes an amused noise in his throat.
"I don't know. I've never touched myself when I'm myself."
Sam's fingers are drifting in helpless, quick little movements on Gabriel's knee. He thinks maybe that's nerves, but he's trying to ignore it.
"What are you expecting?" Gabriel asks curiously. Sam honestly doesn't know.
He knows it isn't going to be the traditional image of a figure in white robes. He's fairly sure Gabriel is not going to look like Kate Winslet. He thinks maybe he'll be huge and overwhelming, all coils of power and fierce burning white light, like a nuclear reactor.
Gabriel gives him a look from under his eyebrows. "Have you ever stuck your hand in a nuclear reactor?"
"No," Sam says, and tries not to be annoyed about the mind reading. He thinks maybe Gabriel is just as nervous as him.
"Well, there you go, then.
And honestly, I wouldn't advise it." Gabriel leans forward, knees digging into Sam's waist. He folds the black material round his head, and the room is plunged into darkness. Sam takes a breath. Gabriel makes an amused noise from very, very close and kisses him, one quick, untidy press of mouth, and then he's gone.
"Don't take that off."
It's a low, heavy growl of command, and Sam nods. Gabriel pulls the material tight, tight enough to hurt, until all Sam can see is spots in the darkness. He's not entirely happy about the lack of vision. Gabriel mutters something about him being an idiot, but it's in that soft, faintly exasperated tone that Gabriel uses when he doesn't really mind. Then his weight shifts, rocks back, one last slide of warm skin. A second after that, it's all different pressure, colder, lighter, and heavier at the same time. The whole room feels full, and there's an electric crackle to the air. Sam listens to the roar of his own blood in his ears and lifts a hand.
Blood and Ink, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose. It's supposed to be easy. Temporary marks on their skin, laid there by angel magic. Easy to apply, easy to remove. But Sam should know by now that nothing's ever that easy for them. The thing that's devouring hunters is strong, much stronger than they're prepared for. It's all strung through with death magic, ready to eat up and spit out any other sort of magic it comes across. The tattoos will have to be done manually, which means forcing angel blood under the skin in a way that Sam's fairly sure is going to hurt like hell. Especially for him. Dean lets Castiel drag him next door with the look of a man who's bled and hurt for the cause far too many times already. A look that Sam has grown to hate and feel guilty about at the same time. Sam ends up spread out face down on the bed in his own room, shirt pulled off and tossed over his bag.
He waits there while Gabriel strips off his jacket and snaps himself up a wicked-looking curved knife, and Sam knows, he knows, what the tattoo has to be done in, but it hadn't really sunk in until now. He buries his face in the crook of his arm and waits. Gabriel drops onto the curve of his ass in a way that's hurried and not at all careful, and it's a damn good job the Archangel isn't exactly a heavyweight. "You know how much fun this isn't going to be, right?" Gabriel says flatly, and there's not even a hint of a tease there. Sam grunts into his own arm, as close to yes as he can manage when all the adrenaline in his body is telling him to throw the angel off. Gabriel's hands push his shoulders down. "My blood's going to burn all the way through you, and the quickest way to get this done is for you to let it." There's a low clicking punch of metal, and Sam tenses. He's had a tattoo. He knows what it's supposed to feel like. It's not supposed to feel like this. It hurts. Hurts in a way that's new and completely unlike anything he's ever felt before. It's like insects crawling under his skin. Sharp metallic insects that are on fire. Gabriel's fingers curl around his shoulder, abort his instinctive, desperate need to pull away, though they can't stop the noise he makes, torn all the way up and out of his throat. The Archangel's a lot stronger than he looks. There's force behind his grip, and Sam can't move, can't even flinch. He has his teeth clenched so hard he may never be able to open them again. "Gabriel," he manages, and it sounds like he's begging. "Don't fight it." Gabriel's voice sounds so far away. Sam blinks sweat out of his eyes. He wants to tell Gabriel to try this himself and then not fight like his life depended on it, because it feels like there's Archangel tearing up the skin on his back, and it's too much. It's too strong. "Sam, you won't win this fight. Don't be stupid." He's gasping and shaking his head, tiny little fractions of movement, and the vibration is going to kill him. It's going to shake him to pieces. When Sam opens his eyes again, the whole world swims back into focus, vision first, and then everything else. There's a thumb rubbing over the new, strange, raw space on his back. It takes him a second to realize that the slow rhythm of it is perfectly matched to his breathing. He very carefully turns his head, feels the world tilt strangely. Gabriel's weight shifts on him, and Sam can feel it all the way through him, the part of the world that's now Gabriel and nothing else. "Easy," the Archangel says quietly, and Sam can feel his voice, the low vibration of it, all layers and clarity that weren't there before. It's new in a way that leaves him dizzy. The flavor of Gabriel is all wrong, and he doesn't even know what he means by that. Sam's expecting something untrustworthy, something sharp and cloying, sweet and dark. But that's not what he gets. Gabriel is vast and bright and wound through with regret and fire, a rush of images and sounds and strangeness. "Gabriel." "Easy, Sam. If you stare at the sun too long, you'll go blind." "You're not the sun," Sam manages. His voice sounds hoarse. "The warning still stands, though." That definitely sounds like amusement now. There's a hand in his hair, unfamiliar fingers dragging through the damp strands, and Sam sighs out a breath when every cell in his body feels like it relaxes at the same time. "Give yourself a minute to get used to it." Gabriel still sounds... Sam can't describe it. His voice is more than one voice now. He fills more space. "What's happened?" he asks desperately. "I had to push you a little." There's something that's almost apology in Gabriel's voice. There's a shift of weight, and Gabriel's hand is sliding off his back. "Don't," Sam says, instinctive, desperate. Gabriel's hand settles on his skin again. "You're going to hold on tightly, aren't you?" Gabriel says quietly. His fingertips are edging through Sam's hair again, and Sam can't help the way he breathes out shaky relief. Gabriel's other hand has folded round his waist, warm where Sam didn't even know he was cold.
You might regret that when it comes time to give me up, Sam.
Our Mornings, written by Entangled Now and read by Eos Rose.
Sam's brain hurts.
The rest of his body is fairly sure it's time to be awake, but his brain is protesting that it needs to be unconscious for a little while longer, because it's still made of fluff and glue and pain. His left arm is completely numb, probably because he's been laying on it. Also, someone's laying on him. What the hell? He vaguely remembers there being a hurrah, we didn't die in a fiery apocalypse and the world is still here party, which, considering they invited angels, probably shouldn't have involved quite so much alcohol. Or maybe more alcohol than usual, he's not quite sure. Either way, it probably shouldn't involve getting very drunk, doing something stupid, and passing out at 4 a.m. with someone you can have horrendously awkward conversations with in the morning. Though he probably ran out of excuses for accidentally sleeping with Gabriel about 3 months ago. Sam's fairly sure this is a thing. He's fairly sure they have a thing now, and that's worrying in a way he's not quite sure how to deal with. Oh dear God, someone please make his brain stop hurting. There's a sigh against his back, and a hand curves over his forehead. His head immediately stops thumping and lurching, and the headache is gone like it was never there. Sam exhales shaky, delicious relief and relaxes. The hand drifts away, drops somewhere on skin, telling him helpfully that nudity is involved in this particular morning after. But he can't, for the life of him, be bothered to shove Gabriel off, completely ignoring the fact that he's certain that would be immensely ungrateful, since he can move without his brains threatening to fall out now. He breathes indecision into the pillow for a minute until something creaks sharply, distant and far away. It happens again a second later, sharper and louder, and that's something which Sam has become horribly familiar with. That would be the sound of his brother having sex with an angel 3 rooms away. Sam pulls a pillow over his head.
Oh, God, it's much too early for that, he says pitifully.
Clearly, Dean hasn't woken up with a hangover, because God likes him best. There's a soft, vibrating curl of laughter against his back.
Oh, shut up, it's not funny, Sam complains, but he still hasn't quite managed to roll away yet.
He tells himself it's because Gabriel is warmer than the cold flatness of the sheet. Though he gives it less than a minute before Gabriel opens his mouth and Sam will be forced, yet again, to remember why this is a bad idea and why he's clearly insane. But there's nothing, and Sam has the weirdest feeling that maybe this morning Gabriel isn't going to irritate him. That maybe he isn't going to leave at all. Sam thinks he falls asleep again, because the next time he opens his eyes he's alone. He grumbles something that isn't sure whether to be irritated or not, and pushes himself up to a sit. The bedroom's empty. So much for that theory. He tosses the sheets back and goes looking for his clothes. He meets Dean on the stairs, still only half in his shirt, and they spend a moment making sure they don't knock each other flying. Because surviving the apocalypse only to fall downstairs and break their necks would probably make them a laughingstock in any afterlife. When they get to the kitchen, Gabriel is sprawled in one of the chairs, boots balanced precariously on the edge of the table. Sam stops so suddenly that Dean thumps into the back of him.
Jesus, Sam, a little warning.
Gabriel raises an eyebrow at him, like he knows exactly what he's thinking. Then he moves a foot far enough to push a chair out for him. Castiel is in the kitchen, too, dressed in his pants and his untucked and mostly unbuttoned shirt. He's in front of the stove and surrounded by a variety of boxes and spilt pools of milk.
What are you doing, Cass?
Dean asks curiously.
I'm making pancakes, Castiel intones seriously, utilizing the mixture I discovered in the cupboards.
Mostly, Castiel is making a mess. Bobby probably didn't even know he had half of this stuff. Also, there are footprints across the kitchen floor, in milk. Dean eyeballs them curiously.
That's pretty awesome, he decides,
and then hovers, like he kind of wants to put his hand somewhere, but he's resisting because he knows everyone's watching. Eventually, he leans in and presses his mouth just briefly against Castiel's ear. The angel pauses in his very serious cooking ritual, the edge of his mouth turning up just slightly. Sam's fairly sure if he tried anything like that with Gabriel, he'd be forced to regret it. Dean turns back to them, as if to check if he's been caught, and Sam can't resist raising an eyebrow at him. Because he was the one treated to the damn angelic chorus this morning. Dean stares straight back.
Dude, don't even pretend to look at me like that. Don't think we didn't hear what you were doing at 3 in the morning.
Sam grunts something offended.
I was so drunk even I don't know what I was doing at 3 this morning, he complains.
He looks up just in time to catch the wince Dean gives in reaction to whatever shows on Gabriel's face. But by the time he turns to look for himself, Gabriel's expression is back to looking thoroughly bored. Dean throws himself into the other chair.
Guess what we're doing today? Nothing. We're doing nothing today, because there is nothing to do today.
He grins and looks far too pleased with himself. Sam suspects he's going to have to put up with this for a while. Dean, there are still people to help, he points out.
Sure, clean up. Nothing we haven't dealt with before.
He shrugs and puts his boots up on the other chair.
Seen one apocalypse, seen 'em all. It's your own fault you've lived through more almost apocalypses than you'd find in a season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Gabriel says, all lazy mockery and boredom.
He manages to sound thoroughly unimpressed with the pair of them. Castiel appears at the side of the table with a pan and a stack of plates. The pan contains an interesting selection of beige and black, with the occasional splash of milk or dot of flour. It's like some sort of experiment. Castiel looks sort of accomplished and worried at the same time. Dean cautiously drags out pancakes which aren't black on at least one side. Then he throws Sam a look. Like he is, in some way, a horrible traitor if he doesn't have some of Castiel's clearly delicious pancakes. Sam should point out sometime that the angel is millions, maybe even billions, of years old, and his feelings will probably be hurt less if he refuses than if he eats one and dies a horrible death. He sighs and decides on the same tactic as Dean.
Thanks, Cass.
He says politely, and makes sure the angel doesn't see him experimentally scraping one. Castiel frowns, and then cautiously offers the pan in Gabriel's direction. Gabriel rolls his eyes, sighs expansively, and with a great show of reluctance, drags himself a couple of mutilated pancakes onto a plate.
They probably won't kill me,
he mutters under his breath. Which, for some bizarre reason, seems to make Castiel happy. Dean smiles up at him when Gabriel isn't looking, in a way that says maybe there's a conversation there that Sam knows nothing about. Castiel doesn't even seem fazed to be left with the dubious and crispy remains. He acquires them 4 different types of toppings, and Gabriel goes straight for the maple syrup, leaving Dean briefly irritated with his hand in midair. He pours on so much that Sam suspects his tragic pancakes will have to learn to swim. Sam stares at his own pancakes, musing on how he wants his burnt edges to taste, when he has one of those moments. Those strange moments where you remember something you've forgotten, or something you did while you were drunk, and for a second you're not entirely sure whether it actually happened or not. There's a slim possibility that he may have, in the middle of some sort of sex-related post-apocalyptic high, told Gabriel that he loved him. He stares at his pancakes.
Maybe?
The taste of burnt pancakes follows Sam for most of the morning. Dean stays in the kitchen to help Castiel clean up his great pancake experiment before Bobby appears and demands to know who let off a breakfast-flavored bomb in his kitchen. Sam's collecting beer bottles strewn about the house in strange places, sliding his fingers into them and carrying them back to the kitchen when he's full. Exactly how much did they drink last night, anyway? Gabriel does briefly help. He finds two bottles shoved down the back of the couch with the labels peeled off and passes them in Sam's direction. Then he throws his arms over the back of the couch and seems content to just watch. This is maybe the first time Gabriel hasn't disappeared straight away after they've woken up together. Sam's still trying to work out if that's because of what he said, when he's clearly not entirely sure whether he said it or just thought it really hard. "So," Sam says in a casual way he probably doesn't get away with, "what exactly happened last night?" He knows some of it, maybe most of it, but it gets a little shaky towards the end, and Sam's not entirely sure what really happened and what's alcohol-induced hallucination. Sam thinks for a fraction of a second there's something tight under Gabriel's expression of amusement, but then it's gone, and there's just a dubiously raised eyebrow instead. Gabriel sighs, as if Sam makes a habit of worrying about things which aren't particularly important. "Nothing terrible, if that's what you're worried about. No murders committed across state lines, no stolen pets, no teenage girls crying to their parents about how you deflowered them in the night." Gabriel puts his boots up, and it occurs to Sam that that's another distraction. Sam stops looking for bottles and balances his hip on the back of the couch, making Gabriel look up at him, though it doesn't seem to matter. Gabriel is Gabriel no matter where he looks at you from. He watches Sam's mouth like he remembers what it tastes like. Then slowly, reluctantly, Gabriel flicks his eyes up to meet his. Sam frowns, because this should be so much easier than it is. It's not like they haven't ever kissed before. Granted, it's usually more of a necessary prelude to sex, and Sam's made a habit of being drunk, angry, or medicated for most of it. Not all of it, but most of it. Which he's fairly sure makes him the worst other half of a relationship ever. And messed up or not, he's fairly sure that's what they're having. Which shouldn't really come as so much of a surprise. He's kind of amazed Gabriel hasn't turned him into something yet. "A lot of it's kind of a blur," Sam says slowly. Gabriel rolls his eyes and turns his head away, and Sam surprises the hell out of himself by grabbing his chin and turning it back to face him, which seems like a good moment to... Sam leans over the couch and kisses him, one rough, untidy press of mouth. But it's the first time he's done that just because he can. The first time he's done it when they've been somewhere someone could see. Gabriel says absolutely nothing when Sam lets him go. He looks uncharacteristically surprised. "Did I..." Sam's not sure how to finish that without sounding stupid, without putting it all out there. But he thinks if he doesn't know, he'll go mad. And he thinks if he doesn't ask now, then he never will. He lets it hang there, not sure how to finish it. "Yeah," Gabriel says quietly. "You did." There's almost no indication in Gabriel's voice exactly what he thinks about that, but he's gone still in the way Castiel goes still sometimes when he's waiting for Dean to answer an important question. "I'm a shitty boyfriend," Sam manages, which sounds really, really wrong, but it's kind of true. Gabriel looks surprised, and then amused, and then quietly unfathomable. He tilts his head to one side. "I did once turn you into an ostrich, so we're probably even." Sam blinks. "When did you turn me into an ostrich?" Gabriel laughs and fists a hand in his shirt, and there's a really unfair amount of strength at work there when he hauls him back down.